Welcome to this Monroe City Council meeting for June 2012. I'd like to call the meeting to order and ask if Ben, you take roll call, please.
Councilmember Greer, here. Comeback,
here.
Williams,
here.
Kim,
present.
Davis,
present.
Campbell,
here.
Canford,
here.
Please join me for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm going to adjust the agenda here this evening to allow for County Council Member Dave Summers' address council tonight in the audience. But just first, a real quick brief bio on Councilmember Summers. Councilmember Summers received a Master of Science degree in Forest Ecology from the University of Washington, and work history includes a biologist of the Tulalip tribes, president of Pacific Watershed Institute, policy analyst at Northwest Indian Fisheries Commission. His current service is in his third term as a Snohomish County Councilman, representing the residents of District 5 in Southeast Snohomish County. District 5 includes the cities of Lake Stevens, Snohomish, Sultan, Golbar, Index, and of course Monroe. Councilmember Summers has had a very specific focus during his term on the economy, transportation, and the environment. He's here tonight to share some general updates on county issues. So with that said, I'd like to welcome Councilmember Summers.
Thank you, Mayor. And I don't know where you got that, but actually my proudest achievement was I was a tuba player in the Husky Marching Band. So that was kind of the pinnacle of my achievements. I was the first dying tuba at Husky Stadium also, many years ago. Well, thank you for having me tonight. I'll try to be brief. I thought it was a good time to come give you an update about some issues going on at the county that really affect Monroe and all our cities and communities, and also come to answer any questions and hear about any issues that you have for the county. And we can follow up on that later, or happy to take questions and talk at the end of the brief comments here. But a few things. Do you want me to
come back around?
It was sort of working. Is that better? Okay. Sorry about that. I can hear myself just fine. That's the way it is at home, too. The first item I wanted to update you on is our budget situation and the issue that was raised in the newspapers a few weeks ago about a criminal justice sales tax that was proposed by the county executive. Over the last 4 years, since 2008, county budget has dropped about 20% from where we were at prior to 2008. We have not done any general fund property tax increases in that time, so we have achieved all those reductions in spending through cutting staff and services at the county. Kind of one of the most drastic examples was our planning department had over 250 people in it prior to 2008. It's down to about 83 now. So we've been doing budget adjustments through retirements, not filling positions, and no department has been off the list for cuts. We've, I think, 17 positions in the sheriff's office. As I say, every department. Well, we're looking this year at another $5 million that we're going to have to cut. And that $5 million is primarily due to a couple things. The loss of revenue from the state due to liquor sales. The system was privatized. Revenues came to local governments, and I'm sure you're dealing with this also, is being eliminated. That's about $2 million for us a year. Another thing that happened was we've been doing for many years an assessment for programs that benefit veterans, and the state auditor, after many years of saying we were doing everything just right, said we were doing things wrong, and how we were assessing doing the calculations. And so that's another $1.5 million to $2 million. We're still talking with the state about that. And the third area is loss of revenue from the state, who has been leasing beds at our county jail. The Department of Corrections has been bringing inmates to the jail. They lease the beds. That's a source of revenue for the county, and it helps us fill the facility and staff it. We've got mandatory staffing levels, and so it really helps to have that place full. And as the state's been cutting, they've been cutting back on the number of folks who are sending us. So we still have some issues. The council actually never was formally presented with the proposal for the criminal justice sales tax by the executive. They did send up the paperwork, but we've not introduced that, and it died, I think, this week, so we will not be even considering that. And I know it affects the cities because the sales tax would be countywide. There would be a distribution back to the cities, but I think we feel strongly as a council that it's a poor time to be raising sales tax. If you were to want to try it, it would take a long time to get a campaign together and educate the public on what you were going to do with the money, why you were asking for such an increase, and if we wanted to even consider it, we should have started last year. So it's too late, and the timing's bad, so we will not be putting that on the ballot in the fall. One other issue of general interest is air service to Painfield. Again, we've been talking with Alaska Airlines and Allegiant Airlines for a number of years about limited commercial air service in Painfield. Alaska Airlines would like to fly two flights a day to Portland, two a day to Spokane, and the going and return trips, so that'd be, you know, essentially four flights a day. Allegiant Airlines wants to do 3 to 6 flights a week to Las Vegas and other sort of Southwest destinations. Not a huge service, but particularly the Alaska service would allow you to connect in Portland to other, you know, airlines to go other places, and the same with Spokane, so it's regional service. Well, the FAA has been doing an environmental assessment for about 2 years now, and we've been waiting for the results of that and the determination to move forward. They just, in the last several weeks, let us know that they feel they need to relook at some of their numbers in terms of the impacts, particularly traffic and noise, and now we're expecting a decision by the end of the year. But I'm very supportive of getting that service going. It's, frankly, Painfield is a very busy airport with all the Boeing flights in and out of their deliveries and all the planes that they build there. So the commercial air service, frankly, would be lost. You could start it. We could have started last month and nobody would have noticed in terms of noise and air traffic and that sort of thing. So hopeful that will be coming at the end of the year. The county would be building a 2-gate terminal for those airlines. And we'd have a leaseback option, or not a leaseback agreement, so that it would be paid for by the airlines. It would be guaranteed. I just drove in from Seattle, so... The next thing that's been in the news the last couple of weeks is our solid waste long-haul contract. And as you know, all the waste, solid waste in the county, collected by independent or various collectors. Do you have waste management here or Allied?
Allied.
Okay, in some areas in the county it's waste management, Rubitino and Everett, so there's different local collection businesses. And then all the waste goes to Everett, to the county facility, and it's loaded on trains and goes to eastern Washington to a large regional landfill that's been going now for over 10 years. Well, our long-haul contract, our 20-year contract with Allied to take the trains over to eastern Washington, it expires next June. So after 20 years, it's time to, you know, relook at that contract. Unfortunately, we've gotten to a place where we're a year out from the end of that contract, and Solid Waste Department is just now starting to revise our Solid Waste Comprehensive Plan and have not really started formally the RFP process. And the council feels that trying to cram all that into 1 year and meet the deadline is not realistic. It wouldn't be fair to the public. It wouldn't be fair to the cities who are partners in the system. So we're considering, and we'll be taking action in the next week or so, to extend Allied's contract for 4 years. and with a one-year potential extension. I'm personally supportive of just saying 4 years and just setting a date so everybody knows what the deadline is, how much time we have, and we can work from there. I think we need to carefully go through the solid waste comprehensive plan with the cities and the county. We've had a wonderful partnership for 20 years. We want to make sure everybody's on board with where we're headed for the next 20, and that just needs to be done carefully and thoroughly, and I don't think that was being done. So we're going to take the time to do the comprehensive plan. When that's finished, we'll start the RFP process. So I just want to let you know that we're going to kick the ball down the road a little bit and give us more time to consider the whole solid waste system. Last thing I wanted to mention was last fall, as chair of the county council, had several meetings with the city of Everett and some other folks, Washington State University, and talked about the need to really organize as a county to make sure that we're taking advantage of future opportunities, particularly in aerospace. You know, the whole region was shocked when Boeing moved their headquarters to Chicago, and I think that got some people, you know, going. Also, their whole business model was changing to have parts made all around the world and then flown in here for assembly. Well, a couple things have happened. I think that distributed construction system is not working out so well for them. It's a logistics nightmare. I think the Chicago may or may not be a big deal, but I think Boeing is appreciating the region more. We've got Renton, we've got facilities all throughout the Puget Sound area. We've got Payne Field and the Boeing plant there. Dozens and dozens of independent companies that supply parts. We've got an educated workforce, a trained workforce, and with the settlement in the fall between Boeing and the Machinists Union for the 737, I think that was the final big roadblock hurdle, huge for the region. And of course, Boeing announced that we're going to do the 737X in Renton. Well, that's great, but the next generation is, they're already thinking about what's coming next. We've got the 777 Dreamliner, and it's the only place in the world that they're making these composite planes, high-technology planes, and we want to be poised to make sure that they build future versions of that here in Washington State, hopefully Snohomish County, but certainly in the region in Washington State. So I would like to propose that we figure out a mechanism for the county and the cities throughout Snohomish County to come together on a regular basis to align some critical elements of our legislative agendas, both at the state level and the federal level, and other activities that we're doing to really show that we're organized and interested and ready as a region to welcome future investments in aerospace and other businesses. The Economic Alliance, Development Alliance is going strong, but local governments have a huge role in this, and so there's a special niche. And perhaps through the Cities and Towns organization, or we can do a one-on-one, but I'm drafting a resolution at Snohomish County that we would pass as a county council and ask the city councils to consider just a resolution committing to work together in some framework where we could align our agendas on some critical items as we go forward. And I think that would help get us ready for future initiatives and put us in good stead to be very competitive. There's places all around the world that want aerospace business, and we're competing with the world, so we need to be really organized. So if there's interest here, I will continue to get that ready, get it to your staff. I'm looking at the Cities and Towns organization and dinners as perhaps a forum that would work for having those discussions, but we can, you know, structure it any way you'd like. So heads up about that. Have you think about it. Any suggestions you have, I think it's just really critical we get together on that. And, you know, it's really cool. Washington State's coming to Snohomish County, and they're going to be producing engineering degrees right here. Great training programs. We've got companies out at Payne Field that are complaining because they can't find trained machinists, skilled machinists. Huge critical need. And if we can fill that, we can have programs here for our kids and our families and supply that workforce. It's going to put us in a really good position. So those were the issues I wanted to talk to you about. Sorry I went a little longer than I expected, but that's kind of what's going on in Snohomish County. Happy to answer any questions or hear about any other issues that can help on.
Well, Council, any questions for Council Member Summers? Well, I echo what you say there with regards to the need that we have for skilled workforce. I met with a panel of CEOs and business owners, and they were saying that they're having difficulty filling some positions right now, and having a difficulty recruiting as well, because people are coming from the south up to the northwest and see the rain, and they're like, not so much. So it's very good to have that vision to build our own workforce here, people who are used to and enjoy and love the northwest,
yeah.
Have them stay. So it's the right direction.
I haven't heard them say this, but I think Boeing's having a few second thoughts about the plant. The second plant, where I keep forgetting where
South Carolina.
There. Take some chiggers back there. That's all I know. I think they're having second thoughts a little bit again, because we do have such a history here. We have all the support companies. We do have trained workers. We have a lot of things that other areas just can't automatically supply. They can supply cheap land and that kind of thing, tax breaks, but we've got many other assets that we have to offer we can really compete with those areas. So.
Anything else, Council? Council Member Summers, we appreciate you coming out. It's always
thanks
a pleasure to have you.
Let's
try to do this more often. And
just do something about the weather for the fair this year. We had a good year last year.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to stay for a few minutes.
Okay, well, at this time, then, we'll move on to the next portion of our agenda, which is the time set aside for comments from citizens. We asked to provide this opportunity for you to speak to City Council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We asked a couple things. Please limit your time to 5 minutes. And for the record, we'd also appreciate your name and address. I have some folks signed up here this evening, and so I'll start here with first on my list, Mariah Waldenberg.
My first time talking to you. Mariah Waldenberg, my address 20917 133rd Street, Southeast Monroe. Okay, I'm here to voice my concerns about the wakeboard park. I'm going to read two letters, one written by a friend and one written by my mom, both live within city limits. First is from Val Rommel, my mom. Says, I am sorry I couldn't be here tonight, but my grandchildren needed my time so my daughter Mariah could share her feelings about the wakeboard park and share my own views. I have thought long and hard about the wakeboard company coming into our public park. I can see why the city might want to do this, and it could be fun for some people who could afford to purchase a ticket. However, I have several concerns. I walk around Lake Tyne most mornings before work, including this morning, and enjoying the water, eagles, red-winged blackbirds, osprey, and blue heron. I believe that the rigging will be an eyesore and perhaps a danger to our large birds of prey that swoop and catch fish out of the lake. It may injure and will scare away many of those birds. In this economy, many small businesses are failing, and we may end up with rigging that and no one to take it down except at the city's expense. I do seriously object to a for-profit company using my lake park to make money without benefiting all young and old people alike. Many cannot afford the tickets, many are uninterested in this sort of activity, and many are physically unable to enjoy that kind of activity. But they will all be impacted by the congestion, noise, eyesore, restriction of use by boaters, fishermen, and swimmers in the area. This lake and the walking areas have been grown into a lovely sanctuary for people and animals alike. After careful consideration and speaking to a variety of people about this issue, I believe that the financial benefit to the city is not worth losing this fun and functional park to noisy, costly, and a shaky venture. Respectfully, Val Rommel. And then my next one is from Mindy Lark, or Melinda, who's also a city resident. I've done a little research regarding, or a little reading and and have seen the plans for the Wakeboard Park on the city website. I do not know much about the park or what kind of impact it will have on me and my neighbors or the city of Monroe. That is why I turn to you, the mayor, the council, to make the decision in my best interest and the best interest of Monroe, as I know you know more than I do. While you are making the decision, I hope that you take my family and I into consideration. My family and I use Lake Tye several times a week. We play in the playground, we play frisbee in the park, we walk around the lake, and we love to take our canoe onto the lake. We also tend to get lunch, dinner, or snacks around the area while we are there. I think we go into Starbucks or to Subway once a week. It's my daughter's favorite. I know that we aren't the only family in Monroe that does the same thing. On Monday, we met friends at Lake Tye, and we had two or three families with lunches from Subway and McDonald's. The kids had a blast playing on the playground and on the beach while moms got to spend time catching up. Simple, easy, and cheap fun. Now, what happens when the wakeboard park comes? Will there be room for kids to play on the beach safely? Will there be room to park our cars? Will it be so loud that we can't have a conversation on the without yelling? Will I be able to take my canoe out onto the lake without having to dodge wakeboarders? Will people be able to sit peacefully and quietly and fish? Will I be able to walk around the lake in peace and quiet? How is this all going to look? Is my park going to be ugly? I hope that you will take all these things into consideration when making your decision. I hope that you don't just think about the people from surrounding areas that may come in once or twice a year, but that you think about the people who already use this park on a weekly to daily basis. Think about your neighbors that not only use the park, but that spend their money at Subway, Fasano's, Asian Spice, and the other restaurants in the area while they're enjoying Lake Tye. If they stop going to the lake, will they stop going to these restaurants? Will I still be going every week to Subway if the park is unusable? Please make the right decision for my neighbors and health. That's from Melinda Lark. Their opinions, I believe everything they say. I would add that I do have concerns about a business coming into Monroe. We have many vacant businesses, and I fear that this might be another vacant business, and we're going to be stuck with something that me and my friends, I can't speak for people that I haven't talked to, but the loud voices that, no, we don't want this. I would implore you to consider the concerns of Mindy, my mom, myself, and the Monroe City members, not people from outside Monroe that it won't affect that much. I don't know if it's possible, but I would like to see a public vote on it to see what the majority of people in Monroe think. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Next, I have Dwight Nelson.
Dwight Nelson, 18124 Trombley Road, Snohomish. Thank you for your time. I'm also here to speak. I really think the Wakeboard Park is really a cool idea. I just am speaking against it being located on Lake Tye. I moved my office over to the Lake Tye building January. It was downtown Monroe. I use that every day, and if you guys could have been down there yesterday, like the lady was saying, it was packed with kids and families. It was a beautiful day. There was actually people out there swimming. I couldn't believe that, but there were some people out there swimming. And when I was here last time and looked at the way it was set up, where they were going to buoy off the swimming area, I think that's the only way that it's going to have access, because there were several canoes and kayaks that were out there yesterday. I assume the only access to the whole lake is going to be right through where the Wakeboard Park's going to be located at. So if anybody wants to use a boat on the lake, they're going to have to paddle through, dodge swimmers and that type of stuff. And then go around to the west side up north. The other thing that has been real prevalent lately is that there's a pair of eagles that across Highway 2 and then a big house that sits up on the hill there. You can always see their nest. It's been there for years. And they've been really active here. So you know they got babies. You know they got babies. They've been actually, I sit in my office and watch them, you know, diving for the fish and that type of stuff. Last week, for the first time, I was looking out the window. I do actually work, but I look out the window a lot. I saw three river otters. I've never seen river otters up there before, but they came in with that outflow where it heads over to French Creek, wherever it goes. But, I mean, there's a whole lot of wildlife that's out there. which is going to be affected by this new venture. But the biggest thing is I just couldn't get over yesterday the families that were down there. And I believe that they will be displaced, and I believe that they will have a harder time trying to find a place to go to. I know they talked that they were going to put in some additional parking places, but the parking lot was pretty full yesterday. So if these families are displaced, and if they got to go across the street and up the road a little bit where these vacant businesses are, that I assume was where they were talking about maybe having some additional parking yet. I mean, once those businesses fill up, I don't know, directly across the street is just those couple of restaurants where you got to go further up to where the warehouse is and the warehouse space is. And I just believe that, like I say, you're going to endanger families trying to get across the... I mean, you watch right now. I mean, there's kids running across there, and that's a busy road going up and down there. I just would hate to see anything bad happen. Again, I think the Wakeboard Park is a great idea, but just not that location. So thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Trish.
Trying to make you say my last name.
I am
Thank you.
All right.
I was going to look around and see if there was another Trish Lottenslager. Hi, I'm Trish Lottenslager, 16886 Wales Street, Monroe. So I've been here before, but rumor has it there's a vote going on tonight, so I thought I would just give one more final appeal. It is not what we have that will make us a great nation. It is the way in which we use it. This is what Theodore Roosevelt said when he created 5 national parks, doubling the previously existing number. He signed the Landmark Antiquities Act and used its special provisions to unilaterally create 18 national monuments, including the Grand Canyon, set aside 51 federal bird sanctuaries, 4 national game refuges, and more than 100 million acres worth of national forests. Newton Drury was a national park director. He said the American way of life consists of something that goes greatly beyond the mere obtaining of the necessities of existence. If it means anything, it means that America presents to its citizens an opportunity to grow mentally and spiritually as well as physically. This is what I believe helps compel us to stop and seriously look at what bringing a private enterprise into our public park means. You've heard over and over again from the citizens that we use our park. Our parks are sacrosanct. They're for us, hardworking taxpayers. We use it as a refuge. Every time you go to the park, you can't help but smile at all of your fellow citizens who are relaxing, who are having picnics, who are running their dogs, who are just sitting around. The park is constantly packed full of people. To put a private enterprise into it, it is not the way that we perceive our public parks to be. I think that's why there's business districts. That's for business. I, too, think the Wakeboard Park is a really cool idea. It's the wrong place to have it. A park is a place to refresh, relax, commune with nature and neighbors. Parks are for people. They're not for profit. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Jim and Candy Mountain, were both of you planning on speaking this evening?
Well, I'll just be myself.
Okay, thanks.
I'll let you talk.
I wanted to give both of you the opportunity. I just didn't know. I just wanted to chat with you and Candy.
Good evening, Councilman and Mayor. I'm Jim and it's Candy and last name's Mellon, 15497 Heinz Avenue. We live really close to Frylands Elementary. We have a boat. We enjoy water skiing. We love wakeboarding. But we oppose the cable park at Lake Todd. Very simply, we oppose that. So please consider alternative sites. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have anybody else who's signed up at this time. Ben, was there anything else in the lobby budget?
I don't know. I didn't check.
I'll have you check that. And Council, just wanted to draw your attention that Mr. Dick, part of the H3O development group, sent an email to you this evening. It was quite late, so let me just read what he said. Will not be in attendance this evening. He wanted to let you know that it looked at the feasibility of the Cadman site as an alternative location for the Wakeboard Park project. After many site visits and research, we determined that the site would not work for a Wake Park project or any other life business. Kind regards, Greg McDavid. And if you need, we can get you copies of that. Hi, Carrie Gendron.
Hi there, Carrie Gendron, and my address is 12333, 250 First Avenue Southeast, Monroe, Washington, and I've been here several times. So I feel a bit redundant, but I just am here again to share my support of the Wake Park Cable Park in Monroe. And it's really easy to be for something when it's not in your own backyard. And there is a challenge when someone wants to bring something that invades your space a little bit. And so I would just ask that you would be open-minded to consider that we don't get stuck into the mentality of just not sharing our own backyard. And while I appreciate and can respect the fact that chains brings about a little bit of having to look at what our immediate area is to us, and it makes us evaluate what's as important to us, that having this come from my perspective, in my opinion, just makes us have to share what is already there. Really, a public park is about sharing, and it brings a perspective of a group of people coming together and saying, hey, how can we have a team effort of sharing this public park? And that's really what it comes down to, is just avoiding the not-in-my-backyard mentality and opening up to share to yet another demographic that would like to come and be a part of the park that is there. And we, those who support the Wake Park Park, agree with the opposition in that this is indeed a very good idea. And we believe that it would not limit business in the Monroe area, but would actually stimulate it and bring business to those surrounding areas. And while I appreciate the ideas that families can eat lunch and picnic, this absolutely doesn't even impact that. In fact, it brings more families, more opportunity. It's not taking away, it's bringing more. And while there's a fear associated with more activity, the studies that have been done, the impact of the traffic, those are, I don't want to say irrelevant, because they have to be considered, but now that they've been considered, the impact, the negative impact, is very little, in my opinion, to the positive impact that this park would have. The lease is reasonable, it's feasible, and it's very appropriate for private-public partnership. This park opportunity is unique. It provides exactly what we are hoping for to change the identity or the ethos of what Monroe is. Are we indeed going to be a gateway to adventure, or are we just going to talk about it? Because if we're just going to talk about it, then we're never going to change. And I'd say if we're going to be a gateway to adventure, and it's going to start here, then we need to start acting on that and bringing things that are a positive influence on our community, which I believe this cable park will indeed be. So there's always risk associated with change, and the risk, though, from my perspective and all the research and the study that I've done, the risk is very minimal. There is no risk financially. The only risk that I can see is that it will end its change, and there is change. There is risk for change. So I just say, let's take a leap into this, embracing that adventure and providing a healthy, risk-free outlet for that adventure. It will bring business. It will benefit young and old if you're healthy. If you can run and walk around the lake, there's no doubt that you can strap on a wakeboard and get pulled around the lake as well. If you're young and healthy, you can participate. This activity reaches all different age groups. And honestly, if it's not really success or fail, I would put everything I own on the fact that this business adventure will succeed. There's no doubt in my mind.
Thank you. Okay, I don't have any others signed up this evening, but as always, I'd like to open up to the members of the audience who'd like to address council at this time. We have quite a few, and just want to remind everyone to limit your time to 5 minutes. But we'll leave the podium open for those who would like to address council, and ask maybe if you would like to line up maybe in the doorway, that would move things on along a little further. So, all right.
Didn't see a line. So
yeah. I thought you knew, but I had to get
Jeff Rasmussen, 16655 150 Street Southeast. You know, first of all, let me start off by saying I've had a lot of conversations with most of you up here, and I do appreciate the time, the perspective. We don't always agree, and we may never agree on everything. Part of the fun of doing this. So, but it was good to hear your perspectives. You know, I still have the concerns. You know, the concerns I've been here every week and discussing with you. After looking at the proposed contract that was in the council packet, it didn't really satisfy any of the concerns I had on the business aspect. You know, the only way for the city to get out of this contract is if the company fails, can't make their payments, or the city decides that this isn't the venture that we want, but they cannot find another location for this company. I think it's very limited to the city. You don't have very many outs in this contract. You know, think back to the contracts that you've had to reevaluate. The one that does come to my mind, because I was here speaking about it, was in regards to the YMCA 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Unfortunately, that didn't end how I would have liked to seen it, but it was in the contract that the city had a way out. Certainly you have a way out here, but it's very limited to the city. It's very favorable to the proposing company. And, you know, for a taxpayer-funded park, you guys are in charge. This is our park, the city's park, residence park, not a private pump company's park. This needs to be favorable to us. And I look at the rent, just the guaranteed portion. You know, I know there's the 2% gross profits, but if a company's not making any money, we can't guarantee on that. So the only thing we can bank on is the guaranteed portion. The first year, $12,000. Second year, $18,000. Put that into perspective. Council, you get, if I recall correctly, if my numbers are right, $100 per meeting, average 3 meetings. Collectively for the year, that's $25,000. The rent that you'll receive, or the city will receive, doesn't even cover that. Does that seem a little off base? I mean, the fact that it won't even cover your salaries as council, it won't even cover a city employee. It's very, very disturbing. So, you know, like I said, the 2% is just certainly not guaranteed. The other piece in this contract that I have big concerns about is in regards to the bond. Again, if this business does fail, there's a bond supposedly in place that'll pay for the removal of those towers. In some of my conversations I've had with council, there's been a lot of weight put into those bonds. Professionally, as a business banker, lender, I've seen these bonds go up and think that they're the golden ticket, and if it ever comes to a default, sometimes these are nothing more than a glorified pinky swear. It's unfortunate. You guys got to really look at this. And is this bond going to hold up? Maybe not. So then what? We're stuck with these towers left in our lake. Who's going to remove them? Taxpayers. If the council at that point wants them removed. Otherwise, we may even seek up other companies to manage it. The point I'll continue to make is that it is a good idea, the concept of a wakeboarding park. Lake Ty is not the right place for it. Cadman comes up, people say no, I say yes, I think it's great. Whether it is or it isn't, we still got space around the city. Grab a shovel, start digging. As simple as that. Well, hopefully simple as that. Can be. But it takes effort on your guys' part and our part, on the community part. It takes all of us to do it. So, to sum up what Mariah said, let's take a public vote on it. Why not? Get everyone's perspective, get everyone's buy-in on it. You know, advisory vote. If the public says, great, let's do it, let's do it. If they say no, well, now you know. I mean, what could it hurt? So, thanks everyone.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Jacob Stomberg, and I'm at 18463 Blueberry Lane here in Monroe. Granted, I'm not a property owner. I do plan on living in Monroe, and it's a great community. The Frylands is where I would look to buy property, hopefully before the interest rate goes. So Monroe has always been good to me. It's always, let's talk about Lake Tai. I go there all the time. I have a daughter who is 3 and 8, and we go to the park practically, probably as much as anybody else, especially who has kids in here, uses the park. Looking at me, I mean, educated guess, probably for the wakeboard park. Yeah, maybe. I do have my, you know, areas where I agree a lot with what I've heard tonight, especially as, you know, going there, using the park for what it is. I've swam in it. I mean, despite all the negativity around swimming in it, I came out with, you know, 10 fingers, 10 toes still. So that's cool. And the thing about it, though, is that wakeboarding, it's not... Let's compare it to any other sport that I can currently think of right now. So that's similar. Skateboarding, snowboarding, surfing, anything like that. So we built a skate park there. My experience with skateboarders, they grind things, destroy curbs, ollie off stuff, whatever. Wakeboarding is more of a sport that is contained, and this is very contained. So I look at, like, Lake Stevens. There's tons of boats out there. This is going to be similar to, like, one boat. So imagine, like, Lake Stevens, put one boat on it, how much traffic would be around there. You could shrink the lake down to the size of Lake Tai and still have plenty of room, because we're going to be going in a circle and not, you know, barely taking up any of the space out there as it is. I get it, because I do like Lake Tai the way it is. I just think that this could improve it and make it better and make it funner. People of all ages can do it, like we heard before. So, I don't know. Let's seriously consider it. I think that both sides have very good points, and I can appreciate both of them. And that's about all I have to say. Thank you, Rita.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is April Gerke. I'm at 16570 155th Street, Southeast Monroe. And I don't have any special thing. just me. I'm not a great speaker. I'm more of a singer than a speaker, so just bear with me. But I did bring a list of people that do support this wakeboard idea. And fortunately, they can't be here tonight, so I am representative of them. I'm sure they would love to come and speak, but they are unable to. So about 30 people, and that's only in the last 2 days. So I'm sure there's a lot more people that I think this is a great idea. Reasons why, I just feel like I do see people around the lake a lot, but I feel like it's not used as much as it could be used. It's a beautiful lake. It's very, I mean, it's not humongous. We don't have, you know, Monroe's not that big. And so I don't really feel like it would be a safety issue, especially with the cable being there. I think the cable's a really smart idea. I've really only seen wakeboarding from a boat being pulled, so a cable I think would be awesome. I do feel like, the lake is a considerable amount of space for from the road. If you walk from the road to the lake, it's a bit of a way. So there's that. And then parking wise, I don't feel like it would be a trouble because one, Freilands Boulevard, you can't park on Freilands Boulevard because you just can't. And so there's the parking lot, and then the parking lot for Sockeyes is huge. There's a very gracious amount of parking there. And also, I'm sure there would be other parking made, or if there need be, but and then just the thing about the businesses on the side of the lake would definitely do very well from the people coming in, and you know, just and for them to experience the cool business that we do have on the side. I personally do work at Burger Madness, that is on the side of the lake, so I know that my manager is for it, and also our partner businesses right next door, they're just all for it, and they're like, yeah, you know, bring more people. And also just concerning the sound issue, I personally have seen wakeboarding and it's not that noisy, I don't feel. And there is the little tiny boat races that go on there, and those are way loud. Like, I can hear it all the way from my house. I live in the Friends, but still, like, I'm like, whoa, it's really loud. So, you know, and I feel like the only noise that would be is people cheering or, you know, like the regular amount of noise. So, I mean, it'd be great for families just to get out of their house and spend time together, because that's really, I feel like it's really important for families anyways, and just it'd be cool people to come in and show people what wakeboarding is if they've never seen it before. And then families could be able to spend time together. And so I think that's great. And I just know a lot of people think it's a good idea, as you've seen. So that's really all I have to say. Thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Okay. Could she give that to the list of the clerk?
Would you like to submit that?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
How is that a legitimate list? Can I ask that?
It's a list.
It's a list? So it's the record?
She presented it as part of the public. She presented it as part of the public record. I'd like to have it included.
I would agree. We do have letters that come in all the time.
Sir? Riley Ford. My address is 127 Lincoln Avenue, Snohomish, Washington, 98290. Lake Tyne is placed next to Freilands Boulevard. Is there four lanes on that road, I think? Soft industrial park, baseball fields, soccer fields, basketball, tennis, playgrounds. I think it's a great idea to share some of that water space for wakeboarding too. What this comes down to me, I think it's about sharing the water space out there. You know, back in October, I said that the Pro Wakeboard Tour that came to town that summer brought in 6,000 people. I think we've proven and we've seen here in Monroe that people are willing to come to Monroe for wakeboarding and to experience this here. This isn't a passing fad, and Lake Tyne makes perfect sense. You've hosted the Pro Wakeboard Tour once now. It's coming up again here in a few weeks. The Northwest Riders Wake Series has come here for the third time, or will be coming here for the third time. And for the first time, the Northwest Wake Surf Championships. You've branded Lake Tyne as a wakeboard center. That's what it is in Washington. There's no better place in Washington to continue that and build a wakeboard cable park. Now, as far as some of these other notes I have, you know, the physical restrictions to a specific demographic is just kind of like, what about the playground? Not everybody can play on the playground or use the tennis courts. I mean, it's kind of a given, and yeah, that's going to be an issue for some people with wakeboarding too, but it is a wide
It reaches a wide range of ages and skill levels. You know, the questions and concerns that we've gone over for the last 9 months, they've been considered. The ones in those letters is exactly what we're talking about, and that's why I'm so glad you don't have a public vote, because you guys are the most educated on this subject right now. You have all the information. We've been going over this for a long time, and from what I continue to hear, there's people that haven't heard all of the information. You can go to the Facebook site to get some of that information. H3O has made themselves available to talk about this. I believe all of you have made yourself available to talk about this. I feel like the information has been available, and we've reached this point now where you get to decide on this, and it makes great sense for Monroe and for Snohomish County. Cadmans is not an alternative. It's not an alternative because it's a flood zone. There's a giant river running next to it. They cannot build this big wakeboard park there. It wouldn't work. This is your park. This is your park to decide what you want to do with, and you have ownership of it. And that's why HJO is coming and building this building on here, this site, and turning it over to you and leasing it from you. And if it fails, the cables leave, and you have this beautiful facility to do whatever you want with it, or run a restaurant, or Boy Scouts, or have weddings at. It's like, you can come here and build this beautiful site there and make all these improvements and widen the boat ramp and build more parking and then lease it off of you. I don't know if I'm lacking any other information. This makes perfect sense to me. So, anyways, that's all you are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Crystal Schaefer. I live at 17313 100th Street Southeast in Snohomish. While I respect what Riley and other individuals have had to say throughout this entire proceedings, I just want to reiterate, it's not your lake. It's our lake. We use it. And a majority of people that I still talk to have had no idea what's going on. They go, wait, what? To me, that doesn't sound fair. You're taking a small portion of the population and just listening to us. Whereas the majority of the city that you represent are not aware of it. To me, that's just not fair. I've come before each and every one of you several times now, begging you guys to just stop and to reconsider and to not take away that place of peace and serenity, to not change it, to leave it as it is. If you want to do something for Monroe, bring more minor things to the park that don't take up a majority of it for a majority of the year. Bring more minor events over throughout the entirety of the year so it doesn't always use our lake for other things. I still don't think it's a good idea. I think there are many other places in Monroe that would provide a better place for this. I really hope you guys stop and think before you vote tonight to consider the long-term effects versus the here and now or a year from now. Consider what it will do in the long run and how it will affect a majority of your population that have come before you and said, no, we don't want this. I ask you not to be selfish and think of only of the money that the city can make, but to think of beyond that, I can't really think of anything else to say that you guys all haven't heard from me and other people before. Just please stop and think before you vote tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Bryce McDonald. I live at 8404 Northeast 170th Street in Kenmore, Washington. I've got a couple of notes. I've been to a few of these meetings now and heard a lot of the discussions. I just want to say that, you know, obviously, as someone who lives in Kenmore, you're right, I'm not from Monroe. The last time I spoke, it was recently after I came back from the Orlando Water Sports Complex. And speaking just on the benefits for family, I've got two kids. the controlled environment, the opportunity for recreation this brings that fits well with the skate park right next door, with the basketball courts, the tennis courts, the soccer fields, and also this idea of the gateway to adventure that Monroe truly is. I grew up driving right through Monroe to go up to Stevens Pass, so the whole culture of being outside really does fit with it, with Lake Tye, with adding something to the lake. I truly believe that it is not taking something away. But then again, I'm biased. I enjoy wakeboarding. I see the opportunities in physical fitness, getting our kids outside playing, team building, community building. Just last night, I was out riding. I live on the Sammamish River, so different than anybody else, I really have nothing to gain other than access, other than the ability to bring this down to not needing a boat, not needing a spotter, but simplifying the sport. I was out riding last night with five people after work, just really bonding with those people. Our kids were on the boat. It was a great time for everybody. The one thing that I think is a little bit troubling to me is that as a result of me coming out here a few months ago and speaking, I was immediately called out and dismissed by some of the residents on the No Wake in Lake Tye website. Called out by name, said that my comments don't matter because I'm not a resident of Monroe. But some of those that most vehemently oppose this park are not from Monroe either. They live in surrounding cities just like I do. I've lived in Duval. My wife runs a business here in Monroe, not more than a mile down the street from Lake Tye. And I think that we all should have a voice because this is a public park. I live 5 minutes from St. Edward's Park. We don't close people out that don't live in Kenmore. We don't say they don't have a word. They don't have their voice shouldn't be heard on maintaining the mountain bike trails and everything that goes on in St. Edward's Park. If I were just to go down, and being that I don't live in Monroe, I have friends that do. I talked with one just this evening. He would have been here, but he was one of the founders of the Select Baseball League, and he's coaching a game tonight. Unfortunately, it didn't get rained out. But he wanted me to share a couple of words or a couple of thoughts, really, that something like this cable park represents an opportunity for those teams in the baseball league and other kids. He lives in the Frylands. I can give you his address if you like. But it's an opportunity for them to, again, extend their fitness, to bond, to have their postseason parties, to do something when they're not playing baseball. So I think it's, again, it's just an opportunity for true community, true adventure, just truly being outside. To address a couple of the other things, you know, as I mentioned, I live on the Sammamish River. People and machines and eagles and wildlife can peacefully coexist. I was sitting in my home office today, and I watched an eagle fly overhead. 2 weeks after I moved into the house, an eagle swooped down into the river, plucked a fish out. And I was like, wow, this is really why I bought this place. But there are boats. There's a hovercraft, one of the loudest machines I've ever heard in my life, that goes up and down that river. The wildlife comes to where people are. They expect food. They see their own opportunity because they're scavengers. They are birds of prey. So there's an opportunity for them as well. And the noise and the commotion isn't going to scare them away. I'm a business person. And to look at this now as a park that the city maintains, technically it's a liability. It's a cost center. The addition of this park and the funding by H3O turns that cost center into a revenue-producing entity. And I would be hard-pressed to believe that, I'll use the car analogy because I'm the guy, but if somebody in Monroe had somebody knock on their door and say, hey, I noticed you've got an old classic car in your garage that needs some restoring. Well, we're going to take that classic car. It's a beautiful car. We're going to do all of the improvements for you. Not a penny out of your pocket. You're going to be able to drive it daily, and there may even be people that want to go for a ride in your classic car, and you can charge them for it. So it turns that classic car into something you've always wanted to be and gives you additional opportunity. So I guess I'll close on this with just 30 seconds. I appreciate the points that the opposition is making, but a lot of it is based on emotion, and this decision should be made based on fact and logic. So I would just urge you all to not be dismissive as the opposition just because people don't fit a certain profile or don't fit their lifestyle, and be permissive and vote yes with this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Celia Hanford. I live at 15521 Cedar Place, Southeast Monroe, right in the Frylands. And I wasn't going to speak tonight, but I just wanted to share a little bit from my perspective of a youth living in Monroe, right in the Frylands. And I'd like to say that the issues that were brought up, the questions and concerns that were brought up here tonight are all valid. And
I, too, was against the park coming here just a few months ago because of these questions and concerns. And I believe I was against it because I was kind of ignorant on the issues. But I was able to talk to the two men that are trying to be here, trying to bring it here, and kind of grill them with my questions and concerns. I was able to get answers, and I am now in favor of the park coming here. I think that particularly my age of students, high school, we don't have a lot of things to do in Monroe. We can go work out the Y, or we can go watch a movie. Other than that, there's not much to do, and I think having a wakeboard park here would be an excellent source of fun for people my age. It would provide an alternative to going out and partying and doing drugs and such, you know, stuff like that we want our youth to stay away from. So I definitely support this, and I hope you will too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Eddie Roberts. I live at 3412 277th Place Northeast in Redmond, Washington. I am a big advocate for wakeboarding in the Northwest here. I study recreation and tourism over at Central Washington University, where I'm also the president of the wakeboard team out there, and I'm also the director of West Coast Collegiate Wakeboarding, and so I host all the tournaments and everything like that for everyone down to California to Arizona to Boise State. I mean, pretty involved with the local scene around here with wakeboarding, but we have over 50 members on the wakeboard club over here, and I mean, we're all pulling for this, and everyone is really, really excited about the opportunity. I've been involved with the collegiate wakeboarding scene for the past 4 years and competed nationally for the past 4 years as well, and it's been a kind of interesting evolution across the nation, because before you go to the national competitions and you'd be like, you talk to the guys from University of Florida and be like, yeah, we have a cable park, it's pretty cool, like, lucky you guys, the one state that has a cable park. And then every year that we go to these competitions, now we have guys in California, oh yeah, we have a wakeboard park, don't you guys have a park? And Boise State, like, those guys are starting to get some cable setups in their area, and Arizona has one popping up. And so another big thing that's popping up in the collegiate scene is they're starting to put together this wakeboard cable tour as well. And so it'd be nice to go compete at that, because we're a competitive team, but we don't really have a place to practice. It's a totally different discipline of wakeboarding, and it's something that, I mean, we would love to practice. I mean, we have a huge community for water sports at Central Washington University. I mean, we would take vans from our school over to Monroe to bring all of our students over here to practice that. And, I mean, just something that I've noticed in Monroe also, I mean, you guys have definitely made a big investment into Lake Ty as being a wakeboard area. I mean, I've talked to a lot of the guys that compete on the world tour and whatnot with wakeboarding, as well as the pro wakeboard tour here in the United States, and they can't wait to come back here. I mean, like, it was one of the coolest spots that they've been to. They're just can't say enough about how awesome the location was and how much they wanted to come back and how just perfect of a spot it was to wakeboard. And these are guys that have seen every spot around the world, and I mean, they said this is like one of their favorite spots to come wakeboard, so that's really cool. And I mean, it's a natural evolution to put a cable park in. Why make it just a pro thing? Why can only the pros come wakeboard on Lake Ty? Make it available for the community to come out and wakeboard, so you get to come see the big show with the wakeboard tour. But now what happens the next day? The kids want to go wakeboarding, but let's give them that opportunity. And I mean, definitely the Northwest needs to stay competitive with the other areas in the region too. I mean, we've been over, we've talked about the fact that maybe this isn't the best location for the park. I mean, I completely disagree with that. I mean, we've looked at some of the other locations in the Monroe area. Maybe in Washington State there could be a better location that nobody has discovered yet. But the thing is, if we look past this and say, oh, there's a better location, I mean, the location's not probably going to be in Monroe, and you could miss an opportunity altogether. And I mean, I really want to see this go through. And I mean, like I said before last time, I mean, I've got a lot of professors in sustainable tourism that talk a lot about Keough Parks and use it as examples, because it's really one of the most cutting edge things that communities are doing to allow people access to recreational activities that has a very, very minimal impact on the surrounding area. So, I mean, I just really hope that this all goes through. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to have access to boats my whole entire life, but whenever I have kids, I mean, hopefully I'm fortunate enough to have a good enough job where I can afford a boat, but if not, I still want to have some sort of opportunity to get my kids into water sports, because it is kind of a privileged sport. But when you start introducing these cable parks, it really puts it on the same level as snowboarding, to where you can go get your gear and you just go up to the mountain and get a lift ticket. You know, it's accessible to everybody. So hopefully it stays in this area, and we can be wakeboarding next summer on Lake Tai. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wish I had beat him up here. Dave Teeters. I live 14835 165th Ave Southeast in Monroe. One block from the park. And I can agree with a lot of what they say. This is a revenue generator. It is appropriate for certain locations. It is fun. I have friends that do it who own the boats and have spent the $40,000 to $50,000 to $60,000 to be able to go wakeboard. But I also live in a community that has a great school, has a park, has summer movies in the park at night. We have children that play in that park who fish in that lake. It is filled with wildlife. And I don't really have anything against wakeboarding at all. But the location, find someplace else. This is a community park for the people that live in the community of Monroe. I agree. Wakeboarding can be a great sport. It's fun to watch. It really is. But I wonder if it is really appropriate for the location that has been chosen, for the short duration in which it will be available every year, for the nominal amount of money that has been offered to the city for the use of that park, for the impact that that park will have during its lifetime, however long that is. And what happens if, as was said earlier, that business fails? What are we left with as members of this city to recoup our costs or to pay for that facility should it fail? These are the things that we've all got to look at. The fact that, yes, it can make money. Wonderful. I'm glad. I hope they do. I just wonder if this is the proper location for such a facility. And I'd ask you, gentlemen, lady, to reconsider this issue and present the city with something that we can actually use year-round. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I was going to ask you. Anybody else like to address council?
My name is Ryan Reed. I live at 16132 107th Street, Southeast Omish. And I've spoken before here in favor of this, but just wanted to share one quick thing. Took my boys out inner tubing on Lake Stevens the other day, and he's almost three, went for his first time, and he was really excited about that. And we go to the park here in Monroe pretty regularly, too. I work just down the street from Lake Tai, and we go there and swing and barbecue and walk around the lake and all that. And feel like this is just the beginning of kind of a water sports family, for us growing up, my boys around here. And so looking forward to continued opportunities in Monroe for our family. And so really hope you guys really consider this. And I think concerning any of the opposition, I think H3O has done a really great job of presenting a great proposal, considering all the questions and concerns from the council and citizens. So Blake's been said earlier, you guys are obviously the most educated, informed on this matter, so we'll leave it up to you guys to make the best decision for Monroe. So just one other note I thought of, it's been several years ago, but I was at a, this was a proposal at Galaxy Theater where somebody was proposing for Monroe to be a adventure sports capital. And this had to have been 6-7 years ago. And in that time, Monroe kind of naturally has started to be more and more like that, kind of on its own, more organically. But definitely a great time here, great opportunity with this park for Monroe to kind of really go after it on their own and be proactive on jumping on that branding and really going after something solid with this. So, and then just lastly, definitely think that both the Wake Park and all the current activities that go on there now with the wildlife and the parks and the walking and the canoeing and all that can easily coexist with each other. It's a great location. Definitely probably the best opportunity around here for something like this. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I go? Okay. I'm Tiffany Norton. I live at 16005 Lakeview Avenue Southeast in Monroe. I also didn't plan on speaking today, but I'm hearing from a lot of people who don't live in Monroe and who are pro wakeboard, park being set up. I live in that very neighborhood. My kids go to that school. We use that park. I'm totally for it. I think it's a great idea. I don't see why the cable park that I've been to, I went to one down at Lake Washington last year during Sea Fair. It was very quiet. In fact, my son fell asleep while we were sitting there watching it. It was really entertaining, fun for us as a family just to watch. I don't foresee myself as a teacher and my husband being a police officer ever really being able to afford an expensive boat for our kids to learn the sport, so I look forward to them possibly being able to use the wakeboard park themselves when they show an interest in it, something that would be affordable to my family. We've gone to competitions and watched those and enjoyed doing that as a family, going and getting ice cream over at one of the stores and just sitting on the shores just for a fun Sunday afternoon. I really don't see it as being a negative. I don't think that the parking is going to be too big of an issue. There's a huge parking lot at the school, especially when the wakeboarding is in session, is in the summer months when the school is not in session, so there's not a parking issue with the school. You can use that as overflow, walk on the trail down to the park, enjoy whatever other activities are there, the playground, skateboarding, everything else there. It just seems like the most logical place. I think it's a great central location on our way, several highways coming together right in that area, bringing people to town, tourist destination. Like I said, we are supposed to be a gateway to adventure, and if we're not allowing that into our city, it seems silly to call ourselves that. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who spoke. Your comments are always appreciated and welcome. And thank you for being courteous to one another. We did have some comments and opinions that were not in agreement, but everyone was well respected, and that's always very appreciated in these chambers. With that, we'll move on to our business and action items. And I'm not imagining that anybody's going to be wanting to leave here, so we'll move right straight into first our announcement and presentation. And I have a proclamation this evening to read for Radio Week, which is June 18th through the 20th, 24th. And so, City of Monroe Proclamation. Whereas amateur radio operators are celebrating over a century of the miracle of human voice broadcast over the airwaves, and whereas amateur radio has continued to provide a bridge between peoples, societies, and countries by creating friendships and the sharing of ideas, and whereas amateur radio operators have also provided countless hours of community services both in emergencies and to other local organizations throughout these decades, and whereas these amateur radio services are provided fully uncompensated, and whereas we also recognize the services amateur radios people provide to our many emergency response organizations, including the Monroe Emergency Management Office, and whereas amateur radio once again proved its undisputed relevance in the modern world by providing emergency communications when other systems have failed as a result of recent disasters, both in the United States and around the world, and whereas the Amateur Radio Field Day exercise will take place on June 23rd and 24th, 2012, and is a 24-hour emergency preparedness exercise and demonstration of the radio amateur's skills and readiness to provide self-supporting communications without further infrastructure being required. And whereas amateur radio operators deserve our recognition and gratitude for the many services they provide, now therefore I, Robert G. Zimmerman, Mayor of the City of Monroe, do hereby proclaim June 18th through 24th, 2012 as Amateur Radio Week in the City of Monroe, and I urge all citizens to join me in thanking the thousands of amateur radio operators who come to our aid during emergencies or disasters. And we have an amateur radio person here.
Thank you, sir.
Brad, how long have you been an amateur radio operator?
6 years.
6 years?
Yeah.
Well, hats off to you. Okay. Thank you very much.
And just to invite you all out to Amateur Radio Field Day, starting at 11 a.m. on Saturday the 23rd. And while you're there, you can watch the Northwest Wake Riders Wake Porch, too. So you have two reasons to come out.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Brad. Okay. All right. Council, the consent agenda. Councilmember Geary.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Councilmember Gehring and seconded by Councilmember Petterback to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Okay, next on the document here, moving rather quickly at this point, is the resolution authorizing the mayor to sign agreement, page 3 of Cable Park. And Development Manager Jeff Sachs.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. Tonight we're here to discuss the resolution to approve the concessionaire and property use agreement with H3O. I left a piece of paper in my brain back here, so I'll make that. I wanted to start tonight with just kind of a overview of economic development. Why did we start even talking about this project last July, I guess is when it was. And the economic benefits of an enterprise recreational facility. What does a cable park bring to Monroe from an economic development standpoint? You have to look at the long-range impacts of an event like this or a project like this. Initially, what's going to happen is the city will be the recipient of a 2,500 square foot building on Lake Tide, terraced with docks on the lake. That improvement will become the city's when H3O discontinues operation at the lake. That may be 25 years from now, that may be 10 years from now, but that becomes the city's property. In addition to that, we will receive annual minimum rent payments. In the mature years, $24,000 a year. People look at that figure and say, well, that's not a lot of money. But when you factor in the projections that H3O has presented to us, plus the 2% gross payment, over a 25-year lifespan of this contract, it equates to about $1.4 million. Now, I'd like to take that $1.4 million and put it into perspective. It's not a lot of money each year. But staff's recommendation to council, and the council's decision is going to be, it's up to you folks as to how you use this revenue, but in kicking it around, I feel that that money should be placed directly into the capital facilities fund for the Parks Department. Now, why would you do that? Capital facilities in the parks plan, it's a long-range plan. Mike Farrell in the Parks Department puts together our parks plan as approved by you guys. Right now, the revenue sources are basically real estate excise tax fees and park mitigation fees that go into there. Right now, that fund is underfunded to do everything that our long-range plan anticipates. That deficit that's underfunded, to put it into perspective, if you take that number that's underfunded, that's what determines what park mitigation fees are going to be paid on a new home constructed in Monroe. And right now, what is the park mitigation fee right now, Brad? Do you know? $4,400 roughly?
$3,400. For a single family residence.
So each single family residence right now is paying $3,400 every time we build a new home here. Now that $1.4 million is going to reduce the fund's negative balance. And when we do that, we'll recalculate what those park mitigation fees are going to be on a new home constructed in Monroe. That's something that we know we need to do. We're about 1,000 units short or deficient of our residential capacity in this town. One of the comments we hear from developers consistently is to build a home in Monroe, it costs about $30,000 just in mitigation fees, sewer charges, water charges, permit fees. That little bit of reduction, and I think it would probably be about a 60% reduction in park impact fees, would be a substantial benefit to a new home buyer in Monroe. So when you look at H3O, a cable park that's basically a recreational facility, and start to factor in how that ripples throughout the economy of Monroe, in just that one instance, I think it's a pretty powerful argument to support a concept like this. Now keep in mind, that didn't address sales tax revenue that's anticipated from the cable park activities, nor does it calculate admissions tax revenue. And admissions tax revenue is going to far exceed anything we receive in sales tax revenue. It's 5% every time somebody walks into the park. So that revenue will be coming into the city. On top of that, it generates the spin-offs that we all talk about in the economic development world, buy gas, buy food, stop at the grocery store. Maybe mom goes shops downtown. Who knows? Maybe the folks drop the kid off at the wakeboard park and go over to Sockeye's and have lunch. That's an economic development aspect. It brings revenue to the city. It creates an environment in our city that people leave money here, and they take, a lot of times, the visitors leave that money behind. So that's just kind of the scenario. I just want to remind council of why we are doing what we're doing. It's not so much to create a recreational facility at Lake Ty, but it's to generate an economy in the city of Monroe that makes Monroe a healthier place to live, a healthier place to provide government services, and reduces the impact to the taxpayers that actually live in Monroe. So with that, I would just like to walk through and present the concessionaire's agreement to you. And initially, what I want to call out is this document is 98% complete, if you will. There are some very small tweaks that still need to take place. As recently as today, H3O's attorney submitted their final comments to Zach Lell, our city attorney. And those changes are very, very minor. But I wanted to point three of them out specifically to you folks right now. If you go to page four, there is a date, rent commencement date, about a third of the way down there. And initially, we had hoped it would be June 1st of this year when H3O would be starting up. We've all come to realize how impractical that thought was. I inserted March 1st as a placeholder when we first started into this process in discussions with H3O, June 1st seems to be the accurate number. So that's the number that would be in the finalized document. If you were to jump over to page 30 of the agreement, section 16.19, exhibits and recitals, you may have found all of this information missing from the document, and that was semi on purpose and semi because we just didn't get the documents perfected. So there's four exhibits called out here, and there's actually one additional exhibit that's indicated in 12.03 that should actually be Exhibit C, E rather than Exhibit C. So we'll be adding a fifth exhibit to this list. Basically, I just wanted to walk you through the exhibits since they're not here. The Exhibit A is a legal description. That's basically a meets and bounds description of the land that Lake Ty is. The second is a concept plan. You'll see that defined on the bottom of page one. The concept plan is should be substantially the same as the site plan that they will submit a permit application for when they come through for permits. So the concept plan basically describes in fairly specific detail where everything sits on the property. Exhibit C is the designated president or premises. That's going to be an important surveyed meets and bounds description of what the boundaries of the H3O area of operations will be. It's very important for lots of different reasons, but probably the most important reason is it delineates the area where the city's responsibilities starts and stops and H3O's responsibility starts and stops, with some exceptions. Exhibit D is the financial performance projections. If you guys remember the multicolored spreadsheets that H3O's presented several times, a final version of that will be produced and attached. And Exhibit E will be a financing performance letter, and that will be the document that is produced by H3O to indicate that their financing is fully in place and they are fully capable of financing and paying for all the improvements in order to put this agreement together. So those are issues that still need to be resolved. They're not overcomable. It's more just process at this point to get those put together. I did want to point out four items that I consider items of note, if you will. If you can refer to pages 4 and 5, the renewal term. This is what I've affectionately started calling the off-ramp. Or the Williams Clause, if you will. But when the lease comes to a renewal at 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, the council rightly has asked for an opportunity for the city to evaluate the performance of the operator and to have an opportunity to say no to renewing the lease. So as you read through that section, basically the three issues that would create an opportunity for the city to say no is if the concessionaire fails to meet the financial performance level stated in the projections attached in Exhibit D. So in other words, if they're not meeting what they have promised, the city council at that time could, as you move down farther, hold a public hearing and make findings and conclusions and decide at that point not to renew the lease. Failure to correct identified public safety concerns. If we find our city attorney we're paying him $50,000, $60,000 a year in efforts to defend the city over actions at the park, if the chief of police comes to the city council and says, you know, we're going on 3 calls a day out at the cable park, other public safety concerns that may come up, though who knows what they could be, the city council could identify those and use that as an out. Number three, the city's need to utilize the designated premises for a substantial public purpose and for which no alternative location is available to the city to satisfy the identified public purpose. So those are the three items that would create the opportunity for the city council to hold a public hearing, debate, and move forward with not approving a lease extension. Item five, WCIA review. WCIA is the city's insurance company, if you will. And we have forwarded this document to them, and they have offered substantial comment to the casualty insurance and indemnification sections. You'll find them on pages 18 and 19 is basically where the bulk of the changes took place. You're not going to see what changes actually took place in here, but I can address them. Specifically, the upper liability for their umbrella insurance policy was increased from $5 million to $10 million. The bonding language, they added additional language to the bond that defines what type of bond it is in order to make it a more secure bond, a more stable bond. They have annotated several RCWs that Zach thought were good additions. Specifically, one was there's a state law for amusement park rides, and so there's an inspection process that goes with mechanical structures, and so we included that language in here. They had some discussion about recreational immunity, and I think you've heard this talk about that before. The city attorney has spoke about if somebody has a piece of property and it's open for recreational opportunity, whether it's public or private, they charge a nominal fee to get onto the property or no fee to get onto the property. Someone hurts themselves. Basically, the landowner is immune under this clause in state law from a lawsuit or a financial liability. And WCI took a hard look at the contract because we have a situation where we're going to have a private entity insuring their designated premises, and then we are going to have a public park surrounding that. So they took a hard look at that. They felt comfortable with the changes that protected us in that area. Item six is basically the definition of who the concessionaire is, and I just want to let you know that we have been using H3O LLC throughout the contract. They may use a different name for the park. I know that the principals in H3O have been looking at different names to name the park, maybe drawing a little more excitement, so that may change at final printing. And the last item is, if you were to go to page 14, 507, paragraph B, it talks about the hours of operation. Right now you're seeing that blanks, basically for hours of operation, those blanks will be filled in with the city's park hours. So 7 a.m. to dusk, I believe, is what they are right now. Specifically, the last sentence that says lighting of the facilities is permissible for public operation after dark to the extent allowed under applicable regulations. Now, that sounds like it might mean lit cable towers. That's not the case at all. Our regulations don't allow for that. What it's anticipating is H3O may be sponsoring an event of some sort in the facility or the building itself after hours. Maybe employees are working there after dark. Lighting would be, of course, on. There would be safety lighting around the structure. So that's what the lighting is anticipated for in that respect. So with that, the action in front of you is the resolution to authorize the mayor to execute this agreement with such minor revisions as the mayor may deem necessary. And any additional comments that you would like to interject at this time that we can incorporate in the final negotiations to get this document approved. The anticipated steps from this point forward would be we perfect the document, we perfect the exhibits. At that time, we would sit down, we would execute the agreement with H3O. The mayor would execute it on behalf of the city, and this document would come back to council at a future time on a consent agenda for final authorization. And you would have the opportunity at that time to make comment if you felt there were substantial changes. You could draw it back out of the consent agenda and discuss it at that time for a final approval. Once that final approval takes place, we would record the document and with the county auditor just so that it's preserved for future use. So that's the extent of my comments. I'd be happy to answer any questions or turn it over to the mayor.
Councilmember Cadavat.
Thank you. Jeff, I had a couple of questions about what you kind of relayed, so thank you for that. To go to those exhibits, I think the one exhibit D was the financial performance.
Yes.
So is that the original one? Is that looking at changing? Do you know, because it's not attached here, and I'm concerned because we're approved, you know, you want to approve all the document, that one of the outs of the document is related to that financial performance projection.
Sure.
And not having that in front of me to know if it's realistic or if it's changed, that limits kind of looking at this and going, is this a conceivable way out?
Right.
So is there a reason why we didn't get those? Because if we've already had those or seen those, why is that not included? Are those going to be changing?
I don't anticipate them changing. Probably what you're going to see is the highs and the lows and the different options that they've presented, so it's one spreadsheet. Probably based on their low projection, or their rather than their high, they presented a most likely projection. Yeah, so that will be what will be attached. I have the only representation that's been given to me as far as change goes is they've just perfected the document a little bit more. They've just made sure that their numbers are accurate, but their attendance and their pricing and all of that has remained constant.
Okay, so you don't think that that's
changed? I don't believe that's going to change in any substantial way.
Okay. And then looking through this, I could have missed it, but where does it detail out the number of days the city gets? There was 12 at one time, there were 7 at one time.
It's still 12.
Okay.
21.
Okay, perfect. I'm glad we're adding.
Yeah.
So.
Page 21?
Section 16.21.
Page 31. So the city shall have the right to use the facilities without charge or cost at least 12 days each calendar year prior to reasonable written notice to the concessionaire. So that would include weekends.
You yield for a comment on passing the plan?
Yeah, definitely.
That was one of the questions I had, is are we going to define what reasonable written notice is? I'm just wondering.
We could.
What would you...
No, I'm just, that was the question.
No, but that, yeah, no, that's
we changed
question,
this,
yeah.
We changed this, you know, because originally it was, you know, not on the weekends, and we all knew that, hey, that's fine. But, you know, what are we deeming as reasonable notice? Is it a year in advance, or, you know, what's the...
I would think...
I'll just say, just as an example, for special events, we have 90 days minimum for someone to bring an application to us for a proposed event. So if they're going to propose an event in 2 weeks... They just came to the city. It's very unlikely that we're going to approve a special event. So that might be the starting point for discussion. 90 days.
And Mike, do you anticipate anything other than a special event causing a shutdown? Or?
Well, outside of some sort of emergency. But I think you're talking about planned scheduling
events.
If I may ask, how many events do we currently have
I mean, a lot of them are in that those summer months, and that's why I'm asking, you know, how many do we currently have? Do you know?
Well, I remember when we looked at, like, how many days, you know, it came for the 12 days, ensuring that the water, the activities that would utilize the lake, the area that they would be utilizing, we added those up. We excluded, because they had talked about how they can make a barrier, and they'd reached out to the model boat people, so we'd exclude the model boat dates. We have, gosh, we have at least half a dozen of those. So they've agreed that we can hold model boat races, and the park would be in operation as well, so that would count towards the 12 days.
So you think 12 days, does it, it's enough?
Yeah, as far as the lake, the events where the lake is being utilized, triathlons and the other wakeboard events are namely the events.
Okay. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you, Councilmember Hampton.
Thank you, Jeff, for your clarification. On page 14, regarding the hours that you just brought up, so just for clarification, can you explain, like, if they wanted to do a wedding reception there, after hours, after dark, how would all that work? I think the hours of the operation of Lake Tahoe Park is dusk, so that means you can't even park in there.
Correct.
Parking lot, is that right?
That's correct. Well, and the gates would be locked, but the agreement does talk about H3O would have access to those locked gates, and they would be responsible for locking them on their way out. So I think the agreement does anticipate H3O may be using the building itself after hours. We're definitely going to have to discuss that at further length, how that would be used in an after-hour situation. Simply because it is, by opening up the park gates, you're in essence opening the park. And I think in that situation, it would be very difficult to have an evening event after dark, after dusk, and not prohibit the public from entering the park. So.
Yeah, I think it'd be very important to clarify that, because I can see.
We'll clarify that.
I could see the benefits of having, you know, a reception there or something like that, but you definitely need to clarify the laws and the rules there.
Okay. Mike, how do we handle the movies in the park that's done after dark?
That's a city activity, so.
Yes. So we keep the gate open.
There's special events that may go past, so it's a pretty special event. So, yeah, that'd be a discussion that they'd have with those folks.
But we currently do that. We have a standard or an operating procedure for the other events in the park.
Sure, we have events after dark, after dusk.
So we would use as a basis the existing or prior events that we've held after dusk as a at least a foundation for discussion with
H3O. Sure. Yeah. Communication will be key, you know, on that schedule.
So you for a comment?
If I could, before you go, I'm just. As we get closer to the end of this conversation, it would be nice to have council define the items they would like to see fixed in the agreement, and we will address those issues. That way, the resolution encompasses any changes that council's asking for. I'm sorry.
While we're on the topic of the hours, and you actually brought it up in your... So when it mentions facilities, is there any reason why we couldn't specify lighting of the building facilities so that's not open for debate in any further point?
It could be, yes.
Because I personally would like to see that.
I will. Right. Okay. Or specifically exclude the lighting of the cable facility?
One or the other, because that was one of the things we brought up.
One of the problems we're having is, you know, okay, the dock area is probably going to be lit, and if that light covers part of one of the towers, does that, you know, the foot of the tower and the operating booth? When our regulatory side of the city gets a hold of this, you know, our rules aren't quite as flexible. So, I will talk with them about that.
But to that point, Jeff, the lighting standards are already set in our lighting ordinance, correct? Brent? Yeah. So that it would be treated as any other business in the city of Monroe, so they would be happy with the lighting standards of the businesses.
Correct.
Any other business in the area. So yeah, I would assume that we're not going to see the lighting up in the middle of the lake unless you're a fountain.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right. As we've gone through this year-long process, I've kind of gone on my own journey on this, looking at this venture, and have visited the Orlando Week sports complex down there. And the one thing that when I look in the current agreement, and it specifies, per the design of the meeting that we had the most recent presentation,
middle of May.
The one component that I'm, because we're all the discussion we've had is that it's contained, which to most degrees it is. And most all of my personal concerns have been met. The one concern that is still out there for me after being in the Orlando Park and watching it and saying, hey, this really is good. That seeing the demographics across the board, 60-6 is what I saw when I was there and spent a good hour and a half there. But the component that I currently see in the design that we're talking about formalizing is the bailout point on the west side. That component concerns me because it's not contained. I mean, the statements that we're making is that hey, this is completely contained park. It's not that piece unless we put I saw down at the Orlando one where we have and it's actually in the current design on the east side where you have a floating dock for the folks that when they wipe out are able to walk back. It's not completely contained, and that one component for me personally, I'm still a little bit concerned about. So I'm not sure if that has been brought up with H3O, or if there's any other way that we can talk about how we would mitigate or manage away from. And I hear it, they're not going to want to wipe out on that side. I get it. But, I grew up water skiing, and usually where I didn't want to wipe out is where I wiped out. And I just don't like that idea of, us having, wakeboarders having to swim through that channel that we're designating for boats to get back and forth. And then having to walk on the actual trail, back and around. So if there's any way that we can take a look at that one specifically, I would appreciate that.
I know that part of that discussion from last week was specifically addressed with WCIA and the liability portion of it, and that seemed to be the largest piece that WCIA came back with. The fact that they were comfortable, I think Jeff used in our discussions, we can talk about this for the next year and we'll end up in a bubble. And to ensure that nobody ever is at risk of being injured in any way, shape, or form. But what's the reality of us all living in a bubble? So looking at the facility, we leaned on WCIA for this a great deal. The recommendation came back, or the opinion came back that they were satisfied with the risk level, I guess, is what you want to call it.
The risk is higher than having a public park. The risk is higher than having a fully contained private park. And the reason for that is we will have park users walking directly through H3O's facility. It's designed that way. The park connection is going directly through their facility. We may have a park user that trips and falls and in their facility. And we may have a cable park user that trips and falls on the park trail. In both of those cases, we're cross-indemnified. We're indemnifying each other. And is there a chance that a plaintiff attorney will sue us? Yes, there is that chance. Attorneys sue people all the time for just about anything. will the city of Monroe be looked at as a deep pocket if somebody gets injured? Yes. I would think that that's definitely a possibility. Is there additional risk over the operation of just a public park? The answer is yes. What WCI has said is they feel that the risk, while elevated above a public park, is covered by the insurance and indemnification language that we've built into the contract.
I get the liability and no piece, and I understand that. I'm more looking at it from a functionality perspective of, I mean, that's great. I'm glad that you got the liability question answered, because that was, one of my original, concerns. But you're absolutely right that, you'll be in a bubble. You can argue that all day long. I just, collectively as a group, it's okay. Hey, if we're going to, look at this, we are looking to introduce that as a potential problem. And if there's a way to mitigate it, that's really my question. Because I saw that, the way that they mitigated it down at the Orlando, sports golf. Now, they're not sharing the facilities, their own land.
Sure.
But they have, a floating dock out there. The thing goes forever. It has to be a mile long. But if there was a way to mitigate it, in my opinion, it would be worthwhile to at least entertain the thought of the idea. Because, I will have to say that, as I look through a lot of our concerns, including my own, have been met across the board.
Councilmember Hamburg.
Yeah, I would also agree with the doc. We had talked about that previously. Something there to keep swimmers from going across the channel. I'm less worried about the channel having swam in the lake several times before, so, but I think it's a good idea if that's something we can incorporate. And maybe it's not right away, maybe it's in the future as profits go, go up and the thing succeeds, hopefully. I did want to say that I do live in the Farallones. Like I've said before, I've walked the lake several times. I've pushed the stroller with the kids around the lake several times. I've picnicked several times at this lake. I love the lake, and I appreciate all public input from both sides. I've heard both sides here in council chambers. I've heard both sides at work. I've heard both sides in my neighborhood, and I appreciate that, because without that, this is all useless. So I do appreciate both sides coming and sharing. I believe all of my questions have been answered, and the improvements to the lake and to the area, I don't see. I think we would be foolish not to proceed with this. I have not seen a valid reason not to vote yes on this. I've heard different concerns, but like I said, I believe all the questions and concerns have been answered by the cable company. And I do believe that we need to seize the moment. The moment is upon us to vote on this. Venture starts here. We have an adventure before us. I think now is the time to prove that that's really what we want to pursue. And that's all I have to say.
That's right, Heather.
Thank you. So I appreciate comments. I appreciate the comments from other council members. I do appreciate all the comments from the residents and the non-residents. And while I listen to the non-residents, because I do believe that your viewpoint has merit, my biggest concern really is for the residents. So those are the people who pay the taxes, who vote to support the lake. When this opportunity, and it is an opportunity, came before us, and I showed the plans and the cable park, I thought, this is cool. This could be really cool for Monroe. And I see all the pros. It's outdoor recreation. It fits in with our branding. The adventure starts here. Possibility. I say possibility for revenue. you know, first in the region, we had some people come from Redmond and Kirkland and other places who said they would come here, and they want a spot to come and do this for. Then there's the cons, because there are cons to this. There will impact current use of the park. Don't know exactly to what extent. It will impact the water use. You know, I hear people say it won't impact the barbecues or the kids playing at the park, and it probably won't. I agree with that. But it will impact the water use. There is an elevated risk. It's a venture with a private for company, and there is an elevated risk. The vision for Lake Tide, people differ on that. And I'll speak to that in a little bit, but there is a split in our community about the vision of what that lake public community park should be. Is this the right private partner venture? It was listed in the park plan that we really should look at private partner enterprises. I agree with that. I don't think there's anyone up here on council that disagrees that a private partner enterprise should work, that there's benefits to it. You pool resources. You can have an expert come in and provide something that the city wouldn't provide. But there were questions whether this was the right one. And I think, again, there's people that some think not, and some do. And then another con is really the lack of experience of the company. It's a new venture for them. They're not a proven business. They don't have a track record. We're taking public land that taxpayers pay for, and we are entrusting it into a private business, hoping, you know, having faith that this might work out with this company, but they don't have a track record. Nice guys. Met with them, enjoyed talking to them, but they're not a proven, experienced company with this. So, and again, I've listened to all the people, and really I've kind of kept a private tally of residents who were for it and who were against it. And by my tally, it's about 3-1 that are not in favor of it. Now, that's people who I've heard speak. That's people who have called me on the phone. That's people who have stopped me in a restaurant, people who stopped me at Safeway, people who stopped me on the street. But that's my own tally. We don't know. You know, we don't know what if people are necessarily 100% for it or against it or what the split is. But I have to say, you know, we've had people from Lake Stevens, as I mentioned, Kirkland, Redmond, come here. And my question is always going, why not at Marymore? Why not at Green Lake? Why not at Lake Stevens? Marymore wouldn't let it happen for reasons. Lake Stevens, Green Lake, if I was that business, where would I want this park? I'd want it where there was a bigger demographic. They're not allowing it. The community would rise up at Green Lake or Lake Stevens, where it's big and boating is in there, because it will impact the residents' use. It would impact their use. No longer will you be able to pull out a kayak and go out whenever you want, in the middle of the summer, and kayak in the lake. It will impact some people's use. Another reason I can't support this is the revenue that it's going to generate. We're giving up approximately a third in the middle of the lake for $12,000 in the first year. It's almost a third of the lake smack dab in the middle. It's a public park. And I love the quote of, parks are for people, not necessarily for profit. Great if we can make profit, and great if it can help in other areas, but it shouldn't be our primary concern. You know, so the benefits that we've talked about, revenue, and I agree with Jeff, that there's other continuing things that could happen. There's other revenue streams that could possibly happen. I get that. But to me, giving up a third of our lake for $12,000 up to $24,000 a year is not enough. Now, there will be improvements made to the park. That could happen with another private public enterprise. This isn't the only option. When I look at kind of my vision of Lake Tai, it doesn't fit the cable park. It just doesn't. I get the adventure starts here. It doesn't mean that it has to be a cable park. my vision of Lake Tai is possibly a dock, a fish and bait shop, kayaking lessons, hooking it up to Centennial Trail, beautifying the lake, things of that nature where you have unlimited access as a resident at any time during the summer. You can go out there and do it. Bike rentals, paddleboat rentals, maybe even a building there that you could rent out for other things. But it doesn't have to be the cable park. I read this book called Good to Great, and it talked about how you make communities, organizations, and it focused on cities, nonprofits. It was that version. And it said, sometimes you have to say no to opportunities and stick to what you want. And my vision for that park is not a cable park. The last comment, I mean, there's two more comments I'll make, but the process to me, yes, we started last July, August on this. You know, we had an ad hoc committee that looked at this, and I thought they did a great analysis. They came back with the pros and cons, great analysis, and then it went away. It went to economic development. The park board didn't get a say. The park board didn't make a recommendation. It didn't go back to the park board to talk about the vision for that park, what they meant by a private-public enterprise, and all of that. That, to me, would have been a better process to take it back to the park board and look at that. And the last comment I'll make is about the mixed use. You know, I see a real issue with it not being contained. I see a real issue with the channel and limiting the use. And I know other council members don't see that, but I use that lake all the time. I go out there. I work across from there. I see it on a summer day. It is packed, and it's packed in the lake. That will be impacted because the cable park is going to be open all summer, as they should be, to make money. But that is going to impact residents' use. The middle of the lake will no longer be accessible. And to me, for taxpayers, to limit a public park and a public lake, which where else do we have in Monroe? That public lake. Do we have another one? I mean, public lake in the city of Monroe, we're limiting that for $12,000, $18,000, $24,000. It just ain't enough.
Thank you. Councilmember Williams.
Thank you, Mayor. So I will present the other side of the coin. I have a lot of respect for Councilmember Petabash, but we see things a little different in this regard. I also listened to the arguments on both sides. I had some concerns that I've had from day one with the proposed agreement, and I'll get to those in a minute. But the argument that I hear where the park activity will be ruined or lost, I don't agree with. While I agree that some will be changed, you know, if I look at, you know, bird watching, swings, swimming, ball fields, walking, the beach access, the skate park, the picnic areas, this will have zero impact on those. And so, you know, while I listen to that, I just can't buy that the lake will be ruined if we put a cable park up in place. I do believe that there was a very similar argument made when the skate park came to town, and you know, now people are calling that an asset of the park, where before people complained that that was going to ruin the park. So from my perspective, I don't see that. I do see that there will be some of the use changed, but I don't see that it's going to ruin or, you know, take away the use. I've heard several people say no one from Monroe supports this, and I will agree that you might have had a 3-to-1 ratio. That has not been my experience, and you know, maybe we travel in different circles, I don't know. But I have had a lot of support for this. I've also had people that have come to me with concerns because they've had misinformation. I had people go through my neighborhood and put flyers out that had completely inaccurate information, and so I had to answer to a bunch of my neighbors who were asking, why in the world would you support such a bad deal? And when I explained to them, you know, some of the realities of the agreement, overwhelmingly they thought, oh, that's a good idea for the city. So I don't believe that the citizens of Monroe don't support this. That's not been my experience. I've heard we have alternative site options. I've heard we have an alternative option, and then I've heard other people say we have other options, like there's even more. I don't believe cabin's a valid option for this. And aside from that, I don't even know where we'd be talking unless we were literally just going to dig a hole somewhere and fill it with water. So while it's easy to say we have other options, none have come to the city, none have presented themselves, at least to us and council. And again, it's very easy to say we have other alternatives. I mean, we've heard that for 3 years out of North Kelsey. And, you know, those options, while people say they're out there, they're not coming to the city and saying, here's some money, we want to do this. We've had several people say that they're not in favor of it because not everyone will be able to afford it. I can't use that as an argument because not everyone can afford to go to the movies, but we don't say that we won't have a theater in town. While I agree that it might be cost prohibitive for some, other people might look at it and say, I can't afford a boat, but I can afford going to the cable park. So, you know, I can't use that. Not everyone will use it. Again, I agree, but not everyone uses all the activities at the park right now. And if we limited ourselves to only activities that everyone in the city can use, we'd have, you know, breathing parks, because that's the only thing that everyone can do is breathe. You can't even all eat the same food. Breathe these things. So if you look at what activity in Monroe can everyone do, I mean, we can't even all go grocery shopping. Some people can't do that. So, I mean, there's no alternative that will cover that. I've heard people say it makes too much noise. And again, that's just simply not the case. And if the noise of children playing is what you're talking about, that's already there. So, again, I can't use that. The other big overriding one is I've heard the lack of experience in this type of business from the H3O group. And, you know, what if they go out of business and the city's left holding the bag? And I'd say, welcome it, you know. If somebody wants to come in and build us a 2,500 square foot building with docks, do improvements to the stormwater filtration system, do improvements to the shoreline, add sidewalks and build us 20 parking spots, and close their doors 6 months later and walk away and leave a $100,000 bond for us to remove the towers, we would do that every day. I mean, where can we sign up for somebody that will come in and do that? So if, you know, again, that's the fear of the unknown. What if they go out of business? Well, what if they don't? What if they succeed? I'm someone that started my own business. So, you know, I think people that have initiative and want to do it should be given the opportunity to do that. And again, it's only in favor of the city if they do, for what we get back. I've heard we're rushing into this. And from my perspective, sitting up here for 10 months listening to presentations from H3O and talking about it through emails and citizens, it doesn't feel like we've been rushing it at all. I mean, it's again, one of the things that's frustrating me about government is why things take so long. I mean, 10 months, we're still talking about it. I've heard people are not aware of it. And again, that's another frustration as a council member that I have, is that people, you are right, people are not aware of most of what's going on. And I would love to be able to remedy that, but the fact is, we put it on our agenda, we've had several meetings of it, it's been in the newspapers, it's been all over, and people aren't aware of it, aside from going door to door in every house. And I don't have time for that. I don't know how else to better make people aware of it. You know, there is, if people want to be aware of what's going on, the information's there. The big one, too, that the rent doesn't justify it. Well, I just listed a whole bunch of things, in my opinion, that are in excess of the rent. The rent, to me, is a small piece, and that's just the base rent. You're still talking about the admissions tax on top of that and the percentage of the ticket sales on top of that. In addition to the 2,500 square foot building, the improvements to the stormwater filtration system, the improvements to the storm, to the shoreline, added sidewalks and 20 parking spots, I can't even imagine if we as a council were sitting up here trying to find budget money to do this stuff. It would be laughable because it wouldn't even be in our 3, 4, 5 year plan to pay for this stuff. So while one component of what we get, people might question and say it's too small, you have to look at the whole picture. And, you know, if all we were getting was $25,000 a year max, I would agree that's not enough, but I don't believe that's all we're getting. There's also the other added benefits to other businesses and people coming to the community that I think is you can't ignore either. So again, my biggest concerns all along were I wasn't happy with the first proposal of a 30-year lease, and that to me has been remedied by dropping into a 10-year lease. I wasn't happy that the city didn't have an out clause. I'm happy that we have language in there. That's been changed. Initially, we didn't have a bond identified for removal of the equipment if the company goes out. That's, I believe, a $100,000 bond that H3O has to put up for removal of that equipment. And it's a removal of equipment that has salvage value on top of that. So I can't imagine that $100,000 is even close. You know, it's got to far exceed what that is going to cost. From that perspective, I think my biggest concerns were met. The concerns that I still have that I don't know if we need to make amendments to, but Jeff, you'd asked for a list of what other council members brought up, so I listed them out. I do have this. One of the concerns that I do share with Councilmember Cutaback is the four missing exhibits that are identified. I would like to see them, and I guess even when I vote in favor of this tonight, when it comes back for final, if those have changed substantially, I won't be voting in favor of it because those are key to this agreement. And if we've been talking all along about projections for revenue, and now suddenly those have been cut by 50%, or the footprint of the cable park is now suddenly taking over 80% of the lake, I'll have an issue with that. So I just want to point that out. Section 507B, defining the lighting of facilities, either what's included or what's excluded, would be nice to get that more clearly defined. Also in 5.07B, it's the after-hours operation, which says allowed under applicable regulations, if we could even cite just the regulation that would govern that. The section 16.21, city use of facilities, the reasonable written notice. Again, I think I would defer to Mike for that because it's not feasible that Mike's going to put together some event in 5 days. So, you know, I would think that what's reasonable for the Parks Department to decide we need that much time, I think that's what should be in there. So, you know, I'm actually quite pleased with the cooperation between what I've seen between H3O and the city and getting some of these points, at least the ones that I was really concerned about. The other two big ones for me was the liability issue. And, you know, to hear that our insurance company has kind of blessed the agreement and feels that we're covered on that standpoint. And also the legal review just from our city's attorney's perspective, because I'm not an attorney. I can't foresee all of the what-if scenarios. But the fact that we've had legal representation bless this, as well as our insurance company bless this, you know, again, puts my heart at ease. So, you know, I think those are my only concerns there.
To that last point, I just want to speak with regards to the legal blessing. I think if Zach was here tonight, he would say that nothing is 100%, but he has certainly given that. We just had a conversation this afternoon, and his opinion is very strong in favor of the language and of the agreement. So, but I just want to say, in his blessing, nothing is 100% in terms of some of the things that have been shared. Because I've said that same thing to him. And things, I'm glad your stamp of approval, you respond in that way. So, well, you know. Anyways, Councilmember Gary.
Thank you. I wanted to echo a couple comments that I heard. First of all, I do want to say thank you to everyone who has weighed in. There's certainly some strong opinions on both sides. I have friends who have strong opinions on both sides of this issue. We were talking tallies. Overwhelmingly, the people, at least in my particular circle, think that this is a good idea of those who live in the city. And so that's certainly along the standards that Councilmember Cutterback put forward. In my thinking, that certainly helps me weigh whether or not this is a good idea. My main concerns were essentially how we get out of it. And I know those were shared by a couple of other council members as well. The exit strategy, what is it? And 25 years was too long for 30 years. Was it 30 at first? And then it was down to 25, and then the 10 with the fives. I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm glad we did that. And then, again, as Councilman Williams said, the blessing of both the legal department and our insurance really, at least as far as I'm concerned, really it takes away the overwhelming concern of financial risk. Again, never 100%, you know, as our attorney would say, nothing can be guaranteed that way. But I do think ultimately that this is going to be a fantastic addition to the park. I really think that every use, the uses that are there, will still go on. And I'm excited. My family uses the park regularly. And I look forward to doing all the same things we did today, in addition to perhaps observing wakeboarding. We'll decide whether or not I actually do it or not, but you know, should this come to pass. So I know my kids will certainly want to do it. Again, I appreciate the conversations that I've had with people, and we don't always agree, but you were heard, and many of the concerns, I think, I lived right next to it, I would have those same concerns. I believe as I lived through here, to me, those, I feel like those have been addressed, or the fears will not come to pass, won't be realized, of some of the perceived negatives that this could have. And so I will be supporting moving this forward this evening. Thank you.
Councilmember Davis.
I guess it's my turn. And I don't want to repeat everything that's been said, because it's been said several times. And we have put a lot of time into this. But some of the things that I've run into, it's not so much for or against, but when I ask people, what do you think about the report card? I get the look. And that's disappointing. That was brought up. There's nothing. The information has been out there. A lot of people just don't really know what's happening. And that gets frustrating. You know, everything I think is there. Everything has been worked over and hashed over. And I think on both sides. Some compelling arguments. So I guess I'm trying to explain, or I need to explain my opinion or my position on this. I'm not much of a storyteller, but I'm trying to go at it this way. quite a few years ago, a young couple got married. Gentleman went to his young wife and said, "Hey, I got this great idea. All my friends have these neat motorcycles, and they ride around, they ride to work on them, they save a lot of gas, a lot of money on gas. And on the weekends, they ride around town, they all have a good time, and they enjoy being with each other and everything else. What do you think about this motorcycle?" And she thought, "Well, that sounds like a pretty good idea." Out to buy a motorcycle, and he rode it to work, and he saved a little bit of money and gas. And on the weekends, they rode around and had a great time with all their friends. And then winter time came. The couple lived in a small apartment, ground level, no garage. So again, the gentleman had a great idea. "How about I put this motorcycle in the living room? Hesitant, but she agreed, "Okay, we'll try it out." So they did. And the young guy, he loved that motorcycle in the living room because it was right there. He could polish it, could dust it off occasionally, could sit on it. Remember all the fun time he had out in the summertime. It was great. Then springtime came. Rolled the bike outside. And again, they started riding. He started riding into work. So longer. They had to walk around that motorcycle and worry about leaking gas and oil all over the place. All kinds of things, so. The young man thought it was a great idea. He had kept it in there all year round. He could. But the young wife wasn't so hot about that idea. Fortunately, the young man was wise enough to go with his gut there and not to push the issue. And and that's the only thing that I could come up to or come up with to explain my position on this. I watched Lake Cod from its beginning. I remember taking my oldest daughter out to the dairy there on the open house many, many years ago. Watched that field turn into a development. Watched Lake Cod go from a big dirt hole in the ground to a bit of a lake, then a park, a play area, school, sidewalks along the side, the boulevard there, then a dirt path around it, then a paved path around it. It's nice and green. The trees have grown. It's a lot. There's a lot of things to do out there. The vision of Lake Tai for me is that vision, a place where you can go out there and walk around and enjoy. And I think for a lot of people in Monroe, that's their idea of the park out there. And they put a lot of time and effort in realizing that reality. I've got nothing against wakeboarding. I love the idea. I love the idea of that being a pro thing, us having that image, the adventure starting here. I'm all for that. But it seems to me that what they're trying to do is put the wakeboard or my linear. And I got a different plan for my linear. Thought for something else. I think that's where a lot of people are in the city. And that's the one thing that stops me from going with this plan, is there's a lot of people out there that have that same vision of Lake Drive Park. And I'm with them on that. I'd love to have the Wakeboard Park, just not in Lake Time. I think I've heard that a few times in the last few months. But I agree with it. It's a great idea, but I'm just not on plan with it being overtime. I wish there was another place we could put that. I'd be 100% united, but that's why I can't support it.
Councilmember King.
Now it's my turn. I have to hold that. Well, first thing that pops into my mind are Christmas lights on the motorcycle.
I didn't know
that.
Okay. But I've heard it. That's pretty cool.
I thought about the off season. Actually, when I think about Lake Tai, and I walk around it a lot, I've seen some people as I do my wanderings. And so I see the changes. I see it all year as I go around it. I have this vision where I get a chance to go to one of the local restaurants or even McDonald's and grab some food and sit down on the side of the shore and watch the people. I watch the boats, I watch the swimmers, I watch the kids, I watch the birds. And I think, I've got one more thing to watch. If we have this, an opportunity to see some of the skill levels that I've seen at the professional wakeboard park, some of the new kids, learning how to use this. I think it's a real asset to the city. I think it adds to the lake. I think, yes, there will be change. It'll have an impact. But I don't see it as really an impediment. Just involved a little bit of change. So that's why I support it. It's a plus for the city. It's a plus for the lake.
others who want to comment, I'm going to go ahead and maybe I need some help with the wording, but I'm going to move to adopt the resolution authorizing the mayor to sign the agreement with H3O, given the changes that need to be made. As however I need to word that.
I'll second.
Resolution doesn't need to.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, motions been made by Councilmember Gearing and seconded by Councilmember Camp to approve resolution authorizing the mayor to sign the agreement with H3O, the resolution, with the recommended actions. And you have,
I have the recommended
actions.
So Brad's got back up.
Right.
And he recorded it. So.
All right. Okay, I see no more lights, so I'll go ahead and call for a vote on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
What'd you do? Yay or nay?
I yay it is.
You yay. Okay.
Yay.
Okay, motion. I'm sorry, Councilmember Hanford is so loud I couldn't hear. The motion does pass 5-2. Councilmembers Cutaback and Davis in opposition. Okay. All right. We are moving on to final action. And give me a couple minutes. Thanks for your transportation improvement program.
Last week we held a public hearing regarding the 2013-2018 transportation improvement plan following an introductory meeting on May 8th. As requested by the City Council, we changed item number 5 from Blueberry Lane Kelsey to parentheses, Hill Street Extension, to East-West Connector south of US 2. And there were no other changes. And now's the time, if you would like, to adopt the resolution, or pass the resolution adopting the 6-year TIP so we can send it off to the state as required by state law.
Councilor Williams.
I would like to make a motion to adopt the resolution 2012/0115 adopting the proposed 6-year transportation program for 2013 through 2019.
Sorry.
There was any doubt.
Okay, motion has been made by Councilmember Williams and seconded by Councilmember Hanford to adopt resolution 2012-015 adopting the proposed 6-year transportation program for 2013-2018. Additional comments, questions, statements? Seeing no lights, hearing no comments, we'll take a motion or a vote on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Now move into the study session topics for this evening. And really tonight we have department reports. I hope you've all had an opportunity to read through. Councilmember Hampton.
I have just a question. Do we need to majority vote to extend past 8 o'clock?
Yes, since we're an hour and a half past that. If you would like to make a motion to approve the extension past 18, we can go that route.
Second.
All right, motion to approve by Councilmember Hanford. Seconded by Councilmember Gary to approve an extension of the meeting past 8:30 or 8 p.m. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so we've recessed and we're back into the study session and department reports. Council, would you like, and overview? Have you had a chance to read the reports that were in there? I'll just go around then. Ben, anything else in addition to what we have? Jeff, anything else in addition? Diane, you had a great report. Anything in addition to what you have in the packet?
No, just that I think the city should absorb the increase in the solid waste fees and not pass it on to the citizens.
Mike?
Just want to emphasize the part in our report about this month. We had a real busy month last month, and this month's another busy one. This Saturday is Triman Row, so there'll be a road closure. Firelands, we have signs up. It's been sent to the press, and it's on our website. Firelands will be closed all day Saturday.
Councilmember Geary?
I was just going to say thanks for all the reports. I always find them really informative, interesting, and I certainly appreciate the idea with regard to absorbing the cost, not passing that on. I think it's certainly something that we need to consider. I think that's a good idea. But again, I always love reading the updates, and so I just want to say thanks for giving those to us every week. Thank you.
Chief Quinzer?
Nothing.
Mr. Feilberg?
I'll talk in the next meeting.
The next meeting, okay. Councilmember Hanford?
Thank you. Thank you, Darren, for the update on the report. A couple things. I was not originally in favor of doing the spring cleanup at the high school. I preferred to have all my trash out on the curb because it gave me lots of time. And actually, that night, I was very disappointed that I didn't get to vote on what I wanted because it just got voted on and it was over with.
You're out of town.
And no, I'm here.
Oh.
And but it did give me a great opportunity to help out my neighbor and also help out a single mom. And I actually was thinking of other people after I made three trips out with my trailer and my truck and our van. I was trying to think of other people that I could go help out because I thought this was a great idea. But alas, there was out of time. So, but it was very successful. The one thing that I would say we should definitely do differently next year, all three times that I came in, no one ever checked my license or anything to see if I was a citizen. So my concern is probably that extra cost is because of that. So definitely I would say I would vote for this 100% going forth in the future with making sure that there's some tight, making sure that people are actual citizens of the city.
We discussed that at our recon meeting afterwards. Mm-hmm. That is something we're going to change.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. They asked me for my ID.
Did you get it?
You got first place.
And I came through three times. No, thank you very much.
Staff was a little overwhelmed, and so that was one thing they issued. Whereas we're just going to have more staff next time, so we will be.
Definitely. I can tell they were overwhelmed because the line just kept going. But very successful.
Councilmember Hampton, hats off to you for helping your neighbor as well. And it did give us an opportunity to help a single mom do some trimming and things in their yard. And so that was a great way to be able to assist. Thank you for that. Councilmember Gamble?
The only comment I had was on the wastewater treatment plant. Last time we had, it was the first time I ever saw that there was any sort of trouble in Paradise. It appears that those issues have been worked out and we're back, well, not totally back on track, but at least we're good to go there.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. Did I hear wrong? But I think that we're anticipated that we will be caught back up and even ahead of schedule.
Well, they're ahead of schedule now.
That's right.
Yeah.
City Administrator Bradley.
Thank you. Nothing to report, but I will go over the draft agenda for June 19th. We have a proclamation speed week. Make sure the red light cameras are off.
Yeah, thank you.
Public hearings. 2012 comprehensive plan amendment, proposed land use element text, First Air Field, North Kelsey Development Plan, Downtown Master Plan, and East Monroe. We have a consent agenda. Then under new business, we have an ordinance to issue 2012 GEO refunding bonds and discussion with the ethics board. Under final action, we have the resolution amending fees and the draft agenda for July 10th, 2012. Deletions.
When do we have items to study sessions in the future?
Pardon?
When do we have items to study sessions in the future?
Right now.
Right now.
I would like to add the superintendent item to one of the study sessions.
The 17th would be a study session.
We have it for August 7th.
Okay.
So you'd like it moved up to July.
And you were put on August 7th.
Well, staff had placed on that.
August 1st. August 1st.
I did want to address the Finance and Human Resources Committee. It was proposed to move that to the afternoon of June 26th. Will that work for everybody? Diane included?
I believe so. I think that's
so good. Like 4 o'clock?
Yes, that work? Afternoon would be fine. Okay. 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. That's all I have.
Councilmember Gary?
I just wanted to comment on quickly based on what Councilmember Camp said. Our July meetings are the 10th, 17th, and 24th, not the 3rd. I'm assuming 10th is still a business meeting, right? And I know just because of the template, it says study, council, study. It's probably going to be council, study, council.
You can do business at the beginning.
I know we can, but in the past we tried to, let's try to do our business on one night, our study session items on another, but I didn't know if that mattered or not. I know this is really just the template, but if there was some confusion on when some other item might be there, because it did say God. I didn't know if we were just, since it was the first meeting of the month, the 10th, that's generally when we take care of businesses on whatever the first meeting of the month is, right? Maybe it doesn't matter, but it's just a template thing. But
the only thing that I think confusion around that'll be different on that with regards to business is that Zach will not be there that night, because he's at another council meeting.
When he's usually...
What do you
because it is the second.
Because it's the second week. Yeah. So, but we can't conduct business just as we've done. Councilor.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a report that we had the high school graduation here this last weekend at Comcast, and my daughter graduated. I went really well. Was very impressed. I haven't been to a graduation for years, and I was picturing a very boring evening aside from my daughter. And I was actually very pleased with the brief speeches given and the way everything was handled. I continue to be very proud of Monroe High School and Principal Lombardi and the way things were handled there. Looking at the parks calendar and what's going on for the summer, I will be out of town during the 2 wakeboard events. I was really bummed because I haven't made it yet to an event, and I will be out of town. If I was in town, I would definitely be there to support them. So,
just so you know what you're missing, you can go to our website. We've got a video from last year that's about 30 minutes long. You can watch it. Councilmember Davis?
Yes. Next week, as I've already explained to the mayor, I will be gallivanting across the states of Washington, Idaho, and Montana all week, so I won't be in the evening on Tuesday.
I will be asked. Okay, I have have nothing to report at this time. So with that said, no motion is needed because we're in a study session. So I will simply call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Remember, you're not leaving. There's another meeting after this.
That's right. Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yes.